సురతరువన శాఖాలేఖనీ పత్రమువీ లిఖతి యది గ్రీత్వా శారదా సర్వకాలం తదపి తవ గుణానాం ఈశపారం నయాతి. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. This stanza is from the Shiva Mahimna Stotram. The translation is, if the goddess of learning were to write eternally, having the biggest branch of the celestial tree for her pen, the whole earth for paper, the blue mountain for ink, and the ocean for the vessel thereof, even then, O Lord, thy attributes cannot be fully described. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Good morning and welcome to all of you. Special welcome to the members of the Vidyaniketanam, students, parents and teachers and organizers. They have honored us by coming to our program this morning. And we welcome them all, hearty welcome to all the Vidyaniketanam members, teachers and parents and students. They have brought lunch for all of us. So at the end of the talk, we all go downstairs to have lunch that they have brought, but before that you have to listen to my talk. The topic for this morning's study is the moral gymnasium. Why this is connected with Vedanta, how, is interesting. These are not my words. I just borrowed the title from Swami Vivekananda's lectures. There is an article with the same title in the November 2014 issue of Vedanta Kesari. This world has been called many different things by different people. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna calls this world a house of misery, Dukkhalayam. Very discouraging. In another place in the Gita, he says that this world is ephemeral and joyless, Anityam Asukham. But Sri Ramakrishna said that this world can be a mansion of mirth. Why a house of misery? It can be a mansion of mirth. So there are different views about this world depending upon our perspective. In several of his lectures, Swami Vivekananda refers to this world as a gymnasium where we have come to make ourselves strong. We go to the gym to do exercise and to become strong. For the same reason, we have come to this world to become morally strong. In regular gymnasium, become physical strength we will get. But in this world, we have opportunities to develop our moral strength. How that happens is the explanation that Swamiji has given. Mostly I will use his own words. One theme that runs through Swamiji's teachings in many of his lectures is strength, both moral and physical. Swamiji emphasized that we should all be very strong, because without strength we cannot achieve anything in this world. Not only can we not succeed in this world without strength, moral and physical strength both, but we cannot also realize God. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there is a well-known statement which says, Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha. This Atman cannot be gained, known by balahina, a weak person. So we need strength, both moral strength and physical strength. In a letter written by Swamiji to Olasinghe Perumal, when Swamiji was in London in 1896, Swamiji wrote like this: "My child, what I want is muscles of iron and nerves of steel, inside which dwells a mind of the same material as that of which a thunderbolt is made. Strength, manhood, Kshatriya Virya, Brahma Teja." Kshatriya Virya means physical strength. Brahma Teja means moral, spiritual strength. Both we have to have. Swamiji referred to once in his lectures, referred to two verses in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. These are verses 2 and 3 in the Gita, second chapter, where Sri Krishna gives his message to Arjuna. In the Gita, Sri Krishna talked about many different things, all the yogas, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, all those things, meditation, everything he talked about. But what is the first thing that Sri Krishna said to Arjuna before, when he started speaking in the second chapter? Strength. A call for strength. He says to Arjuna, from where this weakness has come upon you? Kutastva kashmalavidam. At this critical juncture, in the battlefield, when you are supposed to manifest your maximum strength, and you are saying you are weak, you cannot fight. My knees are trembling, my Gandiva bow has fallen down. I am perspiring, these things, signs of weakness you are showing. From here, this is unbecoming of you. Anarya Joshtam. You are a great Arya, you are a great hero. Arjuna was known to be the greatest warrior of that time. And for such a person to display weakness at this critical juncture, it is totally uncharacteristic of him, unbecoming of him, unfit for such a hero. If an ordinary person looks at the 18 divisions of Kaurava army and trembles with fear, that is understandable, but not Arjuna. So reminds him, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, strength first. First message in the Gita is strength, then all other things will come. Swamiji gave a lecture on Vedanta and its application to Indian life. In that lecture, Swamiji wrote this. I am going to read a passage from Swamiji's lecture. Strength. Strength is what the Upanishads speak to me from every page. This is the one great thing to remember. It has been the one great lesson I have been taught in my life. Strength. It says, strength, O man, be not weak. Strength, O man, strength, say the Upanishads. Stand up and be strong. Hey, it is the only literature in the world, Upanishads, where you find the word abhi, fearless, used again and again. And the Upanishads are the great mine of strength. In spite of the greatness of the Upanishads, I must tell you that we are weak, very weak. First of all is our physical weakness. That physical weakness is the cause of at least one third of our miseries. Be strong, my young friends. That is my advice to you. You will be nearer to heaven through football than through the study of the Gita. You will understand the Gita better with your biceps, your muscles, a little stronger. You will understand the mighty genius and the mighty strength of Krishna better with a little strong blood in you. You will understand the Upanishads better and the glory of the Atman when your body stands firm on your feet and you feel yourselves men. Strength is what Swamiji emphasized again and again in his lectures. The next question is, how do we become strong? To become physically strong, we can go to the gym, follow rules of diet, exercise, clean living, that we know. But strength is moral strength. How do we gain that one? Swamiji replies that. Swamiji on several occasions said that this world is a gymnasium where we have come to become strong. When he was doing classes for a small group of disciples in Thousand Island Park, in the summer of 1895, He gave a series of classes morning and evening, and one devotee took notes with the classes and published the notes. Those notes taken of his lectures of these classes in Thousand Alley and Park are published separately as the Inspired Talks. This is also in the seventh volume of the complete works of Swami Vivekananda. There Swamiji said on July 25, 1895, in the book Inspired Talks, the lecture notes are arranged chronologically by date. So if you go to this date, July 25, 1895, in Inspired Talks, you will see Swamiji said this one. Thank God for giving you this world as a moral gymnasium to help your development. But never imagine you can help the world. Be grateful to him who curses you, for he gives you a mirror to show what cursing is, also a chance to practice self-restraint. So bless him and be glad. Without exercise, power cannot come out. When bad things happen to us, we should take those bad things as an opportunities to grow morally strong. Not be crushed by them, but we have to gain strength. In 1896, Swamiji gave a lecture on Vedanta philosophy at the Graduate Philosophical Society in Harvard University. Then he said, "This universe is simply a gymnasium in which the soul is taking exercise. And after these exercises, we become gods." Opportunities to grow strong are always there in our life in the form of adversity. Opportunities to practice selflessness are always there in the form of opportunities to help other people in this world who are in need of our help. Not only people, animals and plants too. Swamiji also at the same time says, we are not here to improve the world. We are here to become strong and unselfish. Unselfishness is a great virtue. Swamiji emphasized unselfishness very much. In one place he said, unselfishness is God. That means, to the extent we become unselfish, to that extent we are approached Godhood. Selfishness means limiting I and myself. Just me and myself. That is extreme selfishness. That limits us. But expansion, not just me, other people, whole mankind, not only mankind, animals and plants, whole of nature. Expansion is strength. In a limiting case, when we expand to the limit, then we become infinite, limitless, and that is what divinity is. So Swamiji explained in his lectures how this can happen. In his lecture called "We Help Ourselves, Not the World." That's the title of a lecture in Karma Yoga. We help ourselves, not the world. Swamiji said that we cannot really help the world. But still we have to do good deeds to help the world. Why? Because, let me read from his lecture. "Let us give up all this foolish talk of doing good to the world. It is not waiting for you, for your or my help. Yet we must work and constantly do good because it is a blessing to ourselves. That is the only way we can become perfect. When we think we are doing good to other people, we are really helping ourselves to become morally strong, to become selfless." Then in the same lecture, he said, "The world is perfect. We see imperfection all around the world, so much misery, fighting, violence. But Swamiji says, this world is perfect." When I read this one, I didn't understand, how can this be perfect? We see only imperfection everywhere. Then he explains, "By perfection is meant that it is perfectly fitted to meet its ends. The purpose of our being in this world is for us to become strong and reach our destination of divine realization, God realization. That's why we are here. It serves that purpose very nicely by providing us opportunities to become morally strong and selfless. In that sense, the world is perfect. It's doing its job very well, perfectly. Swamiji said, we may all be perfectly sure that it will go on beautifully well without us, and we need not bother our heads wishing to help it. This world will always continue to be a mixture of good and evil. Our duty is to sympathize with the weak and to love even the wrongdoer. Love thy enemy, says the Lord. This world is a grand moral gymnasium wherein we all have come to take exercise so as to become stronger and stronger spiritually. Spiritual strength, moral strength is what we gain in this world. In his lecture entitled Freedom, Swamiji said, in so working, we should never think that we can help even the least thing in this universe. We cannot. We only help ourselves in this gymnasium of the world. This is the proper attitude towards work. Swamiji said that this world as a whole cannot be changed. Before us, many great people, kings and reformers, have tried. The world, he said, is like a dog's curly tail. These are his words. This world is like a dog's curly tail. No matter how much we try, we cannot straighten it. Then in that lecture, he said, doing good to the world is good. But can we do much good to the world? Have we done much good these hundreds of years that we have been trying, that we have been struggling? Have we increased the sum total of the happiness in this world? Thousands of means have been created every day to conduce to the happiness of the world. And this has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. Is the sum total of the happiness in the world today more than what it was a century ago? It cannot be. In another lecture called The Practice of Religion, delivered in Alameda, California in 1900, Swamiji said, look at the sum total of good and evil in this world. Has it changed? Ages have passed, and practical religion has worked for ages. The world thought that each time the problem would be solved. It is always the same problem, always the same problem. At best, it changes its form. It's like rheumatism. Drive it from one place, it goes to another. Every new invention brings some advantages and makes life a little easier. But in its wake, the same invention brings other problems also. In medical science has made great advances in the last century. Great advances have been made. Remedies have been found for many diseases. But people are still becoming sick. New problems are coming. Who ever heard of Zika virus last year? We have so many medicines to fight virus in our body, but new viruses keep coming, new strains keep coming. So it's constant effort. As we find solutions to some problem, new problems will arise. Take, for example, atomic energy. It provides clean and inexpensive electric power, but it also brought the atomic bomb. The World Wide Web, Internet, has made instant communication possible with people in any part of the world, instantly. There are many other advantages of the Internet, but it has also given rise to new forms of crime. Recently, I read there is a new form of addiction called digital addiction. I was growing up, there was no digital, there was no electricity, what to speak of digital addiction. But new problem has come called digital addiction. Some young people have become so addicted to the use of the Internet through iPhones and other gadgets that it has affected their grades and health. There are some new detoxification centers to cure people of digital addiction. Detoxification centers for other addictions, we know. But there is a chain of new detoxification centers to cure people who are addicted to the internet, to some form of gadget or other, always looking at the screen. In last Tuesday's Washington Post, there is a report of a study that is being done to study the intergenerational communication. How people of one generation can communicate with people of other generation, what difficulties are there. They speak a different language, we don't understand. In that report, there is in the study, a 10-year-old girl said, I quote, "I once opened my phone after being gone for one day, and I had 219 text messages in one day." If you read that many messages, reply to some, how much time will you have for other activities, for study and other things? Another 11-year-old child said, "I lost my phone for a week once, and I had 3,000 messages." So you can visualize the impact of this. This kind of addiction it becomes. Nowadays, babies learn to navigate the tablet before they learn to talk. The report also says, quote, "Studies show that constant exposure to screens changes the neural circuitry in developing brains, leading to shorter attention spans, stunted social skills, and other problems." Another advantage of the internet is the convenience of online banking and online shopping. But this also makes computer hacking possible, identity theft possible. 3 weeks ago, I went to this Washington MedStar Hospital Center for some test. 3 years ago, I had gone for the same test. And the doctor wanted to gain access to my earlier test to show what it showed and compare it with the present 2 days test. They could not access the computer. The whole MedStar medical system comprising about 10 hospitals in this area, they had something called ransomware. Computer system was shut down. They could not access medical records of the patients. It's called ransomware. You have to pay a certain amount of money to the people who put the virus in the computer and then they will make it free from the virus. Though this world cannot be straightened out like the curly tail of a dog, new solution, new problems, more problems. Though it cannot be improved as a whole, like the curly tail of a dog, yet Swamiji says we should try to do good, not to change the world, but to become ourselves unselfish and morally pure. Unselfishness and moral purity take us to our ultimate good. In his lecture on Karma Yoga, called Complete Self-Abnegation, there are 8 lectures in the Karma Yoga book. One of them is called Complete Self-Abnegation. If you do charity and service, we become unselfish and reach our goal. The world will go on as it always has. If you work with dumbbells, we become strong. The dumbbell will remain the same. This dumbbell. But we become strong. The world is like that. It's a tool for us to become morally strong and spiritually strong. But the world will more or less remain as it is in spite of our efforts to help it. Swamiji said in his another lecture that the whole world cannot be changed. Before us, many kings and reformers have tried, The world is like a dog's curly tail. No matter how much we try, we cannot straighten it. Doing good to the world is good. But can you do much good to the world? Have you done much good to these hundreds of years that we have been struggling to make the world a better place? So many people, reformers, scientists, other people have tried to bring improvements in the world, but more or less it has remained the same. Some problems are solved, new problems come. You solve those new problems, different problems come. The same problem appears in a different way. That's how the world is going to be. But still, Swamiji says, we should not stop doing good to the world. We should not say, anyhow, I cannot bring about change in the world, so why should I bother to do good? That we should not say. You have to do good to the world. You have to help. You have to do service. You have to do charity. But for what purpose? Not with the intention of bringing wholesale change in this world, but using this opportunity to service and charity as opportunities for us to become selfless and grow morally strong and spiritually strong. And his famous sentence, which has only three words in this sentence, which I like very much. It is like a mantra for the modern world. Just three words he said in the Karma Yoga book, page 87, unselfishness is God. The more selfish we are, the less we expand, we become narrower and narrower. Our thinking becomes limited, our life becomes very limited, and it will have no meaning in the larger context. The more unselfish we become, to that extent we expand our personality, we approach Godhood. In the limiting case, when we become totally unselfish, the I is completely removed, then only He remains, only the Lord remains, God remains. In our thinking at the present time, our mind is full of thoughts of I, what I should do next and what I have done, how can I benefit from this, where should I go, what should I do. I is the focus of our thought, of our actions, of our life. Sometimes we think of other people. How can I help other people? There is a place for the other also in our thinking. But gradually, by taking advantage of the opportunities there are to help other people, to do render service to needy people, poor people, destitute people, not only people, animals and plants, we become unselfish. And Swamiji says, to the extent you become unselfish, to that extent you approach Godhood. And you become totally unselfish, there is no I in your thinking at all. Our whole life transpires in the largest possible context. Not in a personal limited context, but in the whole universal context. There is a famous saying, probably it is attributed to Bhartrihari, I am not sure. There is a Bhartrihari, the famous dramatist, Sanskrit dramatist, says, people who think always of only I and me in a limited sense, they are very narrow-minded people. Ayam mama paroveti gananatu alpachetasam. Ayam mama, this is mine, he is mine, para, he is not others, he is not mine, the others. They make a sharp distinction, line, in everything. This is mine, this is not mine. That mind circle is enclosed circle. That is the sign of limited thinking. Ayam mama parova iti gananatu alpachetasam. Alpachetas means a person who is narrow-minded, small-minded person. However, udara charitanam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. Vasudha means the whole world. Udara charita means a person with large heart. He thinks in the largest context. That person does not think of what can I do, how can I benefit from this work, that I is not there at all. Whatever such a person does in the largest possible context, offers everything to the world, to society, to God as an offering, not to gain something for oneself. One thing, one person will certainly gain by our actions, but that is not the motivation. Udhara charitanam tu, for those people who are large-hearted people, unselfish people, vasudha eva kutumbakam. Whole universe is their family. Nobody is a stranger, my child, Holy Mother Sharda Devi said. Her famous teaching is, nobody is a stranger. Everybody is our own. Don't find fault with other people. It's easy to find fault. So many people are doing so many mistakes, I can focus my attention on the other people's mistakes. It's easy to do. But that's only demeaning. We lower ourselves by thinking about other people's mistakes and shortcomings. We should, on the other hand, focus on their positive aspects in their life. We should see the good things in their life. Everybody has a certain amount of good and bad mixture. We're all mixture of good and bad. If you're totally bad, you'll not be here. We'll be in some animal lower form of life. For all good, we'll be in a divine realm. That we are here as human beings is an indication that we, in our personality, there is some good, there is some bad. We should capitalize on the goodness in us and try to overcome the bad in us. That is our struggle. And the world gives excellent opportunity for us to do that one. It's a mirror. It shows our shortcomings. When somebody criticizes us, they are pointing out something that we need to pay attention to in our personality. We may not be aware of our own weaknesses. If somebody points out our weakness, then we become angry. Nobody likes to be shown their weakness. Everybody likes to be praised by other people for our good qualities. But if somebody says, hey, this is the problem with you, then we should not become upset and curse that person. Bless the one that curses you, Swamiji says. If somebody curses you, they're doing a great favor. They're showing the mistakes in us. It's painful, but we have to accept it and benefit from it and make corrections wherever correction is necessary in our personality. That is where the world helps us to grow. It's a mirror. It shows our personality. In that sense, the world is a gymnasium, is a place where you have come to become morally strong and spiritually strong and reach our destination, which is God realization or self-realization. If you do charity and service, we become unselfish and reach our goal, the world will go on as it always has. If you work with dumbbells, we become strong, but the dumbbells will remain same. In his lecture, Claims of Religion, Swamiji said, this world is neither good nor evil, perfect in itself. His will is going on, showing all these different pictures. And it will go on without beginning and without end. It is a great gymnasium in which you and I and millions of souls must come and get exercises and make ourselves strong and perfect. This is what it is for. Not that God could not make a perfect universe. Not that he could not help the misery of the world. Fire in the kitchen is neither good nor bad. When it cooks a meal for you, you bless the fire and say, oh, how good it is. And when it burns your finger, you say, what a nuisance it is. It would be equally correct and logical to say, this universe is neither good nor evil. The world is the world and it will always be so. But we have to take advantage of the opportunities for us to develop ourselves morally, physically also, and spiritually. And we should take opportunities to grow spiritually, become more unselfish by doing whatever little service we can do, charity we can do, in any way, shape or form. Everybody cannot and need not give large donations in terms of money. But any small service that we do to a needy person is a great blessing to us. It's an opportunity for us to become unselfish. Small things we can do. We cannot always do very big things. We cannot bring about large-scale reformation changes in the whole world. In a small way, we can do things which help us to grow spiritually. Somebody needs a little help. We can do that without seeking publicity or reward or fame for whatever service we do. That helps us to grow spiritually, to become unselfish. In small ways, we can show that one. Somebody needs help to go to a doctor's office, then we can help them. Somebody needs medication from the pharmacy, we can do that one. Some people go to hospitals to talk to patients, to bring them some comfort. That's a good help. This is a great kind to help you. It does not cost much, but it means a lot to the patients who are there. I know one person in Houston, in Texas somewhere. That person does a unique kind of service, which I have not seen in any other place. She is a retired scientist. And what she does is, when any bird, she sees any bird injured on the street or anywhere, she brings it home, takes care of the bird until it becomes well. To do this work, she has to do several things. She has to obtain license. Inspectors came and examined her house to whether she has the proper facilities to treat the birds. And then she has to take some training on how to treat the birds and care for them. And then nowadays, her service has become very well known. Some mornings when she opens the door, some bird has been dropped by some people have brought and dropped an injured bird or something they cannot take care of. And she takes it in. I went to her house and saw, so moving. And these birds which are sick, you have to give them medication and food in a syringe. They cannot eat by themselves. She holds the bird in her left hand with so much tenderness. It brought tears to my eyes. With so much love and care and tenderness, she holds it in her left hand. And with her right hand, with a syringe, in which she has put medication or food, she gently puts the food and medication to the bird. She has to do it every 2-3 hours. At night also, she keeps awake because some birds need to be fed and given medication at night. When they become well enough to fly, she has an enclosure in their backyard. She leaves the birds there. They practice flying because they have not learned how to fly. So there is an area where she has enclosed where they can practice flying. When they can fly inside the enclosure, she leaves them free. But they don't go. Every evening they come back. They think of her as her mother. They come back asking for food. They go in during the day, but evening they're all there waiting to be fed. What a wonderful service. She does that one. She spends her money, her time, her effort. At night also sometimes she has to keep awake. Once I went to her, she had 40 birds in her house. Every time I see her, I ask her how the birds are doing, how many are there. That kind of service. Everybody cannot do that. Just taking care of birds is a very difficult task. You have to be specially qualified, have the temperament and the facilities. Any other way we can, small ways we can, we have to help. Not only people, animals and plants, also we should take care, because in all those beings, in human beings, in animals and plants, who resides? To whomever you render a little service, to whom are you rendering it? To the Lord in them. He is present in all, receiving everything. If you help a needy person, you are doing service to him. You are also serving, expressing your devotion to God. We should see the presence of God in all and everything that we help, render help. And then that is conducive to our spiritual growth. All our service is spiritual practice of the highest kind. Now to conclude, I'll mention 2 points, summarizing everything that I have said. Our adversities in life are opportunities to become strong by practicing forbearance, titiksha. We gain moral strength and spiritual strength by facing adversities in the proper spirit, taking them as opportunities to grow, to practice patience and forbearance. Second thing, this world is always going to be a mixture of good and bad. You cannot bring about large-scale changes and make the whole world a utopia. It's not possible. It will continue. But every opportunity that we get to do something for other people in this world should be looked upon as opportunities for us to become unselfish. Because, as Swamiji famously said in the Karma Yoga book, unselfishness is God. With that, I conclude. and let us quietly sit down for 5 minutes, for a couple of minutes, and reflect on these things.